Hello and welcome. I'm so glad you're here because today we're diving into one of Shakespeare's most gripping, most politically charged, and most exam-relevant plays, Julius Caesar. Whether you're sitting your GCSEs in a few weeks or you've just started studying this text, this episode is going to give you everything you need. The key themes, the essential quotes, the exam tips, and a quick-fire quiz at the end to test yourself. Julius Caesar is a play about power, betrayal, and the dangerous gap between what people say and what they actually mean. It's set in ancient Rome, but honestly, it could be set anywhere, anytime. The questions it raises about leadership, loyalty, and whether the ends justify the means are just as relevant today as they were when Shakespeare wrote this around 1599. And that's exactly why examiners love it. So grab a pen, get comfortable, and let's get into it. Let's start with the plot because you need to know it cold before you can analyze it well. The play opens in Rome. Julius Caesar has just returned triumphant from battle, and the people love him. But two senators, Cassius and Brutus, are worried. Cassius is jealous and power-hungry. He fears Caesar will become a king and destroy the Roman Republic. Brutus is different. He genuinely believes that Caesar's ambition is dangerous to Rome. Cassius exploits this idealism brilliantly, forging letters that appear to come from Roman citizens begging Brutus to act. On the Ides of March, the 15th of March, despite warnings from a soothsayer, despite his wife Calpurnia's terrifying dream of his statue running with blood, Caesar goes to the Senate, and there the conspirators stab him 23 times. The last blow comes from Brutus, Caesar's closest friend. Caesar's final words, "Et tu, Bruti," meaning, "And you, Brutus?" are among the most famous in all of English literature. They capture the ultimate betrayal. Not political assassination, but personal treachery. Now here's where it gets really interesting for your exam. The play doesn't end with the assassination. In fact, that's almost the midpoint. The second half is about consequences. Mark Antony, Caesar's loyal friend, is given permission to speak at Caesar's funeral. And what follows is one of the most masterful pieces of rhetoric ever written. Antony's speech is a lesson in manipulation. He begins by appearing to praise Brutus. Brutus is an honorable man. But he repeats this phrase so many times with such obvious irony that the crowd gradually realizes he means the opposite. He shows Caesar's wounds. He reads Caesar's will, which leaves money to every Roman citizen. He works the crowd from grief to fury. By the end, Rome is in chaos, and the conspirators have to flee. This contrast between Brutus's speech and Antony's speech is absolutely central to the play and to your exam. Brutus speaks in prose, which is significant. Prose was associated with common speech, with reason, with the everyday. He addresses the crowd logically, not that I loved Caesar less, but that I loved Rome more. It's a rational argument, but it's cold. It doesn't move people emotionally. Antony, by contrast, speaks in verse, blank verse, the elevated language of Shakespeare's heroes. He uses repetition, rhetorical questions, pauses, and props. He's a performer, he knows exactly what he's doing, and crucially, he never directly accuses Brutus of wrongdoing. He lets the crowd draw their own conclusions. That's far more powerful. Now let's talk about the major themes, because these are what your essay questions will focus on. Theme 1, power and ambition. Caesar is presented as a man of enormous power, but Shakespeare makes him surprisingly flawed. He refers to himself in the third person, "Caesar shall go forth," which suggests arrogance, a man who has started to believe his own myth. He ignores warnings. He dismisses Calpurnia's fears. And yet, after his death, his power only grows. His ghost haunts Brutus. His name drives Antony and Octavius to victory. The play suggests that power once established cannot simply be destroyed. It transforms. Theme 2, betrayal and loyalty. The assassination is the central act of betrayal, but Shakespeare layers betrayal throughout the play. Cassius betrays his friendship with Caesar. Brutus betrays his personal loyalty for what he believes is a higher duty. Even Antony, in a sense, betrays the conspirators' trust when he turns the crowd against them. The key question the play asks is, can betrayal ever be justified? Brutus thinks yes. The play's ending, with Brutus dead, Antony and Octavius triumphant, suggests Shakespeare is not so sure. Theme 3, fate and the supernatural. The play is saturated with omens. The soothsayer warns Caesar to beware the Ides of March. Calpurnia dreams of Caesar's statue running with blood. There are storms, comets, lions in the streets. Caesar dismisses all of these. Cowards die many times before their deaths. The valiant never taste of death but once. This is one of his most famous speeches, and it's deeply ironic. He's about to die. Shakespeare uses the supernatural to create dramatic irony. The audience knows what's coming, even when the characters don't. Theme 4, public versus private. This is a theme that examiners particularly reward when candidates explore it. Almost every major character in this play has a public face and a private self that are in conflict. Caesar presents himself as invincible, but privately fears Cassius. Brutus presents himself as honorable, but is consumed by doubt. Antony presents himself as a simple friend of Caesar, but is a calculating politician. Even Cassius, who seems purely self-interested, shows genuine affection for Brutus. Shakespeare is fascinated by the gap between performance and reality. Right, let's talk exam technique because this is where marks are won and lost. First, always analyze language at the word level. Don't just say Antony uses repetition. Say which word is repeated, why Shakespeare chose that specific word, and what effect it has on the audience. The difference between a level 3 and a level 4 response is that depth of analysis. Second, integrate your context. Examiners do not want a separate paragraph that begins in Elizabethan times. They want context woven into your analysis. Third, avoid the three big mistakes I see all the time. Mistake 1, retelling the plot. If you find yourself writing, then Brutus says, then Antony says, stop. You're summarizing, not analyzing. Mistake 2, treating Brutus as simply noble. Brutus is idealistic, yes, but he's also self-deceiving and manipulable. Mistake 3, missing Antony's calculation. Antony's speech is not sincere grief. It is a masterclass in political manipulation. And remember, 4 marks are available for spelling, punctuation, and grammar in your literature responses. Use subject-specific terminology, rhetoric, dramatic irony, blank verse, soliloquy, aside, foreshadowing. These terms, used accurately, signal to the examiner that you understand how the play works. Okay, quiz time. I'll ask the question, give you a few seconds to think, then give the answer. Cover your notes if you can. Question 1. What does the soothsayer warn Caesar? Beware the Ides of March. Act 1, Scene 2. Question 2. What are Caesar's last words?
Es-tu, Brute?
Then fall, Caesar. Act 3, Scene 1. Question 3. What phrase does Antony repeat ironically in his funeral speech? Brutus is an honorable man. Question 4. What does Brutus say to justify the assassination? Not that I love Caesar less, but that I loved Rome more. Question 5. What is the name of Caesar's wife, and what does she dream? Calpurnia. She dreams of Caesar's statue running with blood. How did you do? If you got all 5, brilliant. If not, those are your priority quotes to learn this week. Let's wrap up with the 5 things you absolutely must take into your exam. 1. Julius Caesar is a play about the consequences of political violence. The assassination solves nothing and creates chaos. 2. Rhetoric is central. Know Antony's techniques, ethos, pathos, logos, repetition, irony, rhetorical questions, and be able to quote specific examples. 3. Every character has a public and a private self. Explore that tension. 4. The supernatural elements are not decoration. They create dramatic irony and reflect Elizabethan beliefs about fate and divine order. 5. Brutus is the tragic hero, a good man destroyed by a fatal flaw, which is his inability to see people as they really are. Thank you so much for listening. Now go and do some retrieval practice. Close your notes, set a timer for 10 minutes, and write down everything you can remember about Antony's funeral speech. That active recall is what will make the difference on exam day. Good luck, you've got this.